Well, good morning, everyone. This is Bob Elson, and a Merry Christmas to you. And we're set as usual with our Sunday show here in the lobby of Northwest Federal at our beautiful new office at 72 East Randolph. It really is a delightful place, and you're welcome to stop in anytime. Just come in, browse around. You don't have to do business. You're welcome here anytime, but just make it a point to see our beautiful new location at 72 East Randolph. Well, as you know, tomorrow everybody is speculating as to what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears, whether they can survive the first round against Dallas. Everybody in Chicago, naturally, I'm pulling for the Bears. I hope that they make it. They're an underdog already established by Vegas. And they figure to be, because as I see it, the big thing in this particular game is Roger Staubach, who was a graduate of Annapolis, was a great college quarterback, has been a great quarterback in the pros, and Bob Avellini, who has come along very well in the last few years, has not yet reached the Staubach stature, because Staubach is not only a great passer, he's a great thinker out there, and he's a disciplined quarterback, and that could very well be the difference. And the other point is that Dallas has been to the wars many, many times. This is not a game for them to worry about particularly. I'm sure they figure they're the better team, as the Bears figure they're the better team. But I believe in this particular game that Staubach is going to be the difference. The Bears certainly have a chance, and we're certainly all hoping that they make it. Our guest today is going to be Joe Goddard, sports writer of the Chicago Sun-Times. A good one, a local boy who started at the desk, and he's come along now and is covering Big League Baseball, and he covered the Big League meetings out at Hawaii. We have many things to talk about, and baseball in particular, and he'll be with us in just about 1 minute. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you whenever you're ready, and ready to offer savers the kind of services you get with the Northwest Card, a special feature available to savers who maintain a $500 balance. And here's what you get: traveler's checks, special occasion checks, registered checks, all with no service charge. Need document photocopies or lamination? It's free with the Northwest Card. There's a special quick check cashing ID card with your picture. Even special vacations for Northwest Card members. So get a world of the services you need often by getting a Northwest Card at any of six convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland, including our new downtown location, right here at 72 East Randolph. Be part of a special group and be a special person at Northwest Federal anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. We're delighted to have Joe Goddard of the Chicago Sun-Times sports staff as our guest on the program today. Incidentally, Joe, you're the co-chairman of the annual Baseball Writers Dinner.
That's right. It's the Diamond Dinner, Bob. Thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, right, it's a great affair. Great affair. I wouldn't miss it.
That's right. Well, you're always right there, front and center. I've seen you through the years. It's our 39th straight year for it, and this is the first year that I've been in charge of it. And mammoth headaches, Bob, but in the long run, it's all worth it when everybody gets there.
You know? When you say mammoth headaches, you're dealing with, you're talking mostly about the celebrity guests?
Exactly. I didn't realize it'd be that difficult to get them, but maybe today's athlete has more plans, wants more money, whatever. I'm not getting the people that I originally started for, although we're still going to have an all-star cast.
Uh-huh. What do you always do?
That's right. And the one I'm really hoping for, and I won't know until January 3rd or 4th, is Reggie Jackson. He wants to play in the Bing Crosby Pro-Am, and if he commits himself to that, I lose him. Uh-huh. But he may be tired of traveling or whatever he's doing, and he has told us he wants to be at our banquet, so I hope he will.
Now, who do you have lined up already?
Well, mostly the local people, of course. Bill Veeck we're going to honor, Bob, for long and meritorious service, which I think is about due for him. And Oscar Gamble's going to come up. I'm not sure how he'll be greeted here, but he'll come up, and we'll have a few laughs with him. He's good. Bruce Sutter will be here. Rick Rushel is our Chicago Player of the Year, and he'll be in the he'll be receiving his award.
You know, he's a marvelous fellow and a great pitcher, and I think that his great years are still ahead of him.
Yes, I do too. He he's so cool now, Bob. You know, he doesn't think himself out of a ball game. You know, that was Bill Bonham's trouble. He used to, when men got on base, Bill couldn't handle that. But Rick can, and he's a tough man in the clutch, and that's why, as you say, he's just beginning.
What about Kingman?
Kingman is just right for the Chicago Cubs.
Is he ready to come to the meeting? To the banquet?
Oh, yeah, he'll be there. In fact, the Cubs are going on a caravan, Bob. You remember the White Sox used to do that?
Yes, I do.
Well, I think the Sox have now given that up, and I think it's because Bill himself doesn't travel anymore, and he wants to be at those. But the Cubs have a 20-city tour coming up, and that's all part of the new look of the Chicago Cubs.
What about Bobby Bonds?
Well, Bonds brings the White Sox back to the level they were last year. They're no better than they were last year, but at least they're back to that level since they lost Zisk and Gamble. And he'll be a big favorite for 1 year. We'll have him.
Is he going to be at the banquet?
I don't know. The Sox don't know themselves, but they think so. They're going to try and bring him in for it.
Mm-hmm.
I know we would get him if they were on tour, but they may not bring him in for just one banquet.
Well, they probably will. I would think it would be a good investment. I think the fans would like to see him, and I think it also would be an addition to your banquet.
Right. Well, I think we can count on it. Now that I think about it, Bob, they have their own press luncheon the day before our banquet. And I know they'll have him at that, so there's no problem there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds exciting. You've got an all-star cast already.
Well, it sounds pretty good. You know, there may be as many celebrities in the audience as there will be on the dais. So,
Joe, I have a feeling that there are a lot of fans around Chicago who maybe think, I wouldn't be welcome there. I wouldn't be welcome. I can't go to that affair. They're looking just for sports people. But you want the fan to be there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm going to honor the people who sent in their checks first. And some of them wrote very nice notes, you know, and they've been going to the banquet for many years, and could they please get closer? Well, I'm going to get them closer.
Uh-huh.
You know, those are the people. And if the orders for tables come in late, by the way, your order was one of the first I received.
Well, Northwest Federal is going to have a table, and our president, Dave Denwood, and Bob Kapelnick are going to have a group there from our association, and we're really looking forward to it.
Well, we appreciate that support. Yeah. But people who order tables late are going to get pushed back. I'm going to honor the fan.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, you really almost just started on a career associated with our national pastime, baseball. I spent my life in it. And I got to know some of the great greats of the past. If I started to name them, it would take up our whole time. I'm concerned about baseball and its future. I'm not sure where it's headed. Unfortunately for baseball, they don't have the type of leadership that Roselle has given pro football. You don't hear all these problems and all these tremendous salaries in baseball. I just can't help but be concerned that one of these days, and if I was Marvin Miller, the head of the Players Association, I would be disturbed about players... Well, just take one, for example, Heisel getting some $3 million for 5 years at Milwaukee. I mean, this is absolutely asinine. I mean, here's a guy hit, what, 261 and hit 31 home runs? What do they have to pay a player that kind of money for? What's the reasoning behind it?
Well, they just want to win a pennant in their time, Bob. That's why. They've got the money. They get their stockholders' permission to, let's invest in this man, and he will be the one that will win us our pennant. It's a game they're playing. I mean, they want to win in their lifetime, and as long as they have the money, you see.
Yeah.
So you've got, what, 26 ball clubs now, right? 26 major league teams. All right, four or five of those teams are loaded with money, and they're the ones who are upsetting this balance here. If you were to bring all 26 owners into the room and say, gentlemen, we have got to set ceilings on our salaries, on our prices, those four or five will nod their heads, they will agree, and they'll walk out of the room and do this opposite thing that was discussed in that room. They'll go out and open their purses. So, unfortunately, baseball is now getting to the point where you are rooting against a team for the wrong reasons. I mean, it used to be you'd root against the Yankees because they had Ruth and Gehrig or Mantle and Barra. Now you root against them because it is the best team that money could buy, and that's the wrong reason to root for baseball.
I can't help but feel, and you never knew him, I don't suppose, the late Judge Landis, who was baseball's greatest commissioner, and his passing was baseball's greatest loss. I can't help believe that someplace along the line that Landis would have used his influence, that this would have been a different package than we have today, where the haves continue to get more, and the have-nots, and there are plenty of have-nots, and I fear that maybe a couple of clubs may go broke in the next year or two. I don't see how they can keep up.
Well, I don't either, and of course we're going to lose the Oakland A's when they'll become a better franchise by going to Denver. fortunately, baseball is so still the national pastime. I mean, don't let pro football people talk you into anything else. It's still the national pastime. There will always be cities that can support it, and there will always be baseball. Fortunately, it won't go away, Bob.
No, that's right.
But I wish we had a more solid leadership. I wish Judge Landis was here today. Yeah. I know what you're saying. Personally, I would like it because he was so quotable, and he would come right out and sit around the fireplace and tell us what the troubles were. But Bowie Kuhn, you can't get a quote out of him. Unless it goes through his PR firm first, you know, and that's no way to handle it, you know. I feel a little sorry for Bowie. The law now stipulates that everybody is free and you can't hold on to a player in bondage, and that's probably the way it'll always be now, Bob. So we have to hope that things will level off and that we can start rooting for baseball for the right reasons and not financial.
Yes. It really is a shame because instead of having what hockey is trying to get, some balance over the whole league and its framework, baseball, as you say, Gene Autry's, the Steinbrenner's, the Turner's, and those guys with the big bankroll, they just keep buying players, and it doesn't seem to be any way to stop it.
That's right. Well, you know, Brad Corbett is probably the biggest defender of all this. He's throwing his money around more than Steinbrenner. And he's a child with his team, Bob. You should see that man in action. I enjoy watching him because he's good for the media. He's a child with that team, and he's the one who's raising the ceilings as much as anybody. And, you know, Montreal, they're pitching in some big money for some of these players, too, and so is Milwaukee. So you've got about half a dozen teams among the 26 who are throwing this all out of kilter, and it's sad for you and I. I mean, I don't want to spend my winter talking about contracts. I'd rather write the old hot stove stories that we used to love so much about the player who goes into the North Woods and chops wood to stay in shape. Those days are over. It's sad.
Yes, it does seem like they're over, but as you say, baseball is still going to be with us, and it should be. It is our national pastime, and I always used to say on the air, it's the greatest game in the world, and it is, in spite of these guys.
That's right. Right. You know, when you get right down to it, the game still has to be played, and the grass still smells good, and the hot dog tastes great, and that's what it's all about.
You know, Joe, you're the kind of a guy that would have loved Judge Landis. Our new location here at 72 East Randolph, we're right around the corner from his office. It was in the 333 building. And the other announcers around the league used to say that I was a pet of Judge Landis's because every time a World Series or an All-Star game came up, I was one of the guys that he selected, and it was a case of who was going to be the other or whatever that was. Anyway, I got to know him very well, and I really loved that guy. He was an eccentric type of individual, but boy, he was straightforward. You could ask him anything. There was no beating around the bush with Landis.
I would have loved it. But, yeah. You know, the judge himself would have gotten in a little trouble today. You know, Marvin Miller would have been listening to every word and taking him to court here and there, and the judge may not have liked it so much. But I wish he was here so we could see.
Yes. Well, I really think that Marvin Miller now is in a rather unenviable position because I can't see anything but trouble ahead.
No, that's right, and he'll have to answer for it sometime, I think. But I don't know, Bob. The players are getting more than ever now, and I don't see any leveling off yet, you know.
Well, they say it all started with the Hunter Finley case.
Well, that's right. Well, actually, the real court case was the Messersmith one. That's when the law legally declared everybody free, and they had to quickly meet with the Players Association to get some kind of control over this before everybody was free. Finley cut his own throat in the Catfish Hunter case. He just failed to live up to the contract, and they proved that in court that Finley had broken the breach of contract, whatever, and he was a free man. But the Messersmith one is the one that was the landmark decision.
Yes. You know, your co-writer over at the Sun-Times.
Jerry Holtzman, yes.
And the fellow who wrote the story on Finley. Just a week or two ago. Remember?
Yes, Ron Rappaport. Yes,
yes.
Yes,
right.
Yeah.
I don't agree with some of his findings. He started like Finley had left baseball a great legacy and that Finley is going to be missed so much. I give Finley credit for what Finley did accomplish, and he was a smart baseball man.
Right.
But the only thing that Finley lacked, and he could have put that at the bottom of the column, was Finley failed to really appreciate, he missed the human equation. People didn't mean anything to him. Run roughshod over people. And I really think that today, as he looks back on his career in baseball, Finley, instead of being a happy man, has plenty of things to be sad about.
Well, You're right about that. I think he'll probably, when we lose him forever, he'll probably be a lonely man. Especially now that he's out of baseball and his quotes no longer will mean anything. I'm not sure how many friends he'll have left, really. I recall having a conversation with Ron Bergman of Oakland. You remember Ron?
Yes, I certainly do.
And I was telling Ron that I thought Finley had done a lot for baseball by bringing in night ball for the World Series and things like that. And he stopped me in the middle of my sentence and he said, well, keep in mind that Charlie Finley is not a nice man. And he has hurt a lot of people. He has ruined lives. Yes, you're right about some of his accomplishments in baseball, but overall he negated it all by being so cruel. Now, he was never cruel to me, Bob. Of course, the only times I worked with him is when I needed a quote from him. I will miss him for those reasons. He was always very quotable. You know, even if there was not a story in town, you could call Charlie and he'd make something up for you and you could have a story, see? So I will miss him for that.
Well, as I say, he has to be given credit for putting together a great ball club.
Yes, exactly. And he operated it on a shoestring. You know, Reggie Jackson wanted 70,000, he'd only give him 63, and all that seems so small today, doesn't it?
I should say our guest today is Joe Goddard, fine sports writer with the Chicago Sun-Times, and we'll be back with our guest looking ahead to the White Sox and the Cubs in 78. We'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Our guest is Joe Goddard, a fine sports writer with the Chicago Sun-Times, one of Chicago's great newspapers. Joe, the fans in Chicago and perhaps 95% of the fans listening to this program today on Christmas Day, incidentally, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Thank you, Bob. Same to you.
Yes. And to all of our listeners, are looking ahead to 78, feeling what did the White Sox and what did the Cubs accomplish during the offseason? Are they going to be as good as last year? Are they going to be better than last year?
I don't know when we'll have another summer like we had last summer, Bob.
That was an unbelievable summer.
Incredible. Cubs were in first place 69 straight days. Imagine that. Yeah. And then they leveled off and finished where they should have. But how much fun that was, you know, at the time. And then the Sox got into first with them. So we may never have two teams in first place like that again. The Cubs are still 2 or 3 years away, I think. Suter and Russell will keep them competitive, but not championship. We need more than those two fellas. And really, that's what it comes down to right now. The White Sox are still a third-place team. I don't see them being much worse than that, but I don't see them being any better than Texas.
California.
California, Bob, is probably weaker now, really. Buzzy Bavezzi was the laughingstock of the winter meetings. He made two trades, and they were both laughed at. Now, I don't know if he felt he had to make trades because he was brand new to the job and he had to show up to Gene Autry or something, but he traded Gene Autry's favorite player, Bobby Bonds. And Autry didn't know it until he got there 2 days later. Yeah, and he got off the plane and came in the lobby, and they said, the reporters ran up and said, what did you think of losing your favorite player? And he said, what? And he said, well, you traded Bobby Bonds. And he said, who'd we get? He didn't even know who they got. And frankly, I think the Sox made a real good trade on that.
I think they really outsmarted them in that deal.
Well, they did for two reasons. One, they got Bonds for 1 year. Now, he replaces Richie Zisk, and he will be as popular as Zisk was. And Zisk was very popular. And Bonds will be for different reasons. He's faster, he'll feel better, he'll drive in as many runs. Okay. But secondly, they took the two best minor league prospects out of California's farm system. The two best prospects. Whitey Herzog said that Thad Bosley is the fastest man in baseball. And the Sox aren't even planning to play Bosley. They got Bloomberg out there instead. And also that kid pitcher that they threw in was the key player. The Sox would not, Paul Richards insisted on this kid named Dotson, Dick Dotson. And the Angels did not want to do it, but they wanted Chris Knapp. They think that Knapp is their answer to a pennant. I don't, but they do.
No, I don't either.
And of course, Brian Downing is just a throw-in, really, and Dave Frost is, I don't think he'll ever develop into a major leaguer.
The only thing I really question about the White Sox in 78 is the really their pitching staff. Right. I don't know how much longer Wilbur Wood can go on. I hope he goes on another 50 years. He's such a marvelous guy.
Yeah, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Nobody wants Wilbur. I mean, they can't unload him, and they don't want to. They're taking a chance and hoping that the knuckleball will come back, and they get another 2 or 3 good years out of him, just like, as you know, they got out of Hoyt Wilhelm. But they're still shy on pitching. You know, they traded a guy who won 12 games. They're counting on Berrios and Kravick to be 15 to 18 game winners, and then the bullpen to pick up the rest. But it's really not a good staff yet.
In the division with the White Sox, let me see. Well, Minnesota's got real headaches. They lost practically their whole club, didn't they?
Yeah, they'll always be competitive. They'll be a 500 team. I don't know how they do it. I don't know what strings Calvin pulls up there, but Mock helps a lot, too. And they'll be back in there, and you'll wonder how they're doing it.
Well, but do you think the White Sox are as good as Milwaukee?
Yes, I think so. Milwaukee's pitching is more suspect than Chicago's. But, you know, they have a little miniature murder's row now. They have a whole lineup of fellas who hit 20 homers last year, except Robin Yount, you know, and you can throw him in there. But everybody, it's a power team, and they're going to be exciting. But their pitching won't keep them there.
You know, according to my underground informants in baseball, and I have a lot of people that I talk to about the game, one of the deals that Milwaukee made with Bando, that's got to be fiscal insanity too.
Yeah.
Well, they got to pay him $40,000 for what? The next 20 years.
Yeah, something like that. Here's another funny story you'll be interested in. You know, Doc Medich, you know, Texas went and signed him for a ludicrous contract too, Bob. But in his contract, it says that when he retires from baseball, he can be a medical advisor to the Rangers for $50,000 a year for 5 years. You imagine that? And you know he won't set up business there. He'll probably call by phone once in a while. And they're going to pay him $50,000 a year to be a medical advisor.
I don't know where some of these fellows get their money. They must have a printing press.
Yeah, well, they just have well-heeled gentlemen behind them who want the prestige of a pennant winner. That's what it comes to.
Someone said that Bill Beck was quoted as saying that next year the White Sox will have as good a team as the New York Yankees. I doubt that.
No, I doubt it too. But, you know, if he says it, Bob, that's good enough for me. Last year when we were down in spring training with that team, we couldn't see that they had made any progress at all. And we wrote it that way. We said, this is a dull
team. Everybody said the same thing.
Yeah, we all did. And then we got on the plane and headed to Toronto to start the season. And Bob Lemon came around with his lineup because we'd asked him for it. And we looked at that line and we thought, well, this isn't a bad team at all. And then everything fell into place. Oscar started pumping them up and putting them in the upper deck. And Bannister hit .320 and for most of the season. Then, he tailed off and made a lot of errors. But we laughed at Vic. I'm not laughing at him anymore. If he says Ron Shuler's going to win 18 games, okay.
I mean, without the money and all that financial background to work with and depend on, he's really done an amazing job up there keeping the White Sox. Very interesting.
Right. Well, you know what I like about Bill most of all is that he adjusts and he's willing to admit mistakes. He admits that he made a mistake with Ralph Garr. Even though Ralph hits .300, he doesn't drive anybody in and his fielding is so poor that he negates all the good he does with his bat. And he admits that the starting time on the night games were wrong. He changed those, and he's willing to bend with the times, and that's what I like. And secondly, he is unloading high contracts. That's why Spencer was traded to the Yankees. It wasn't for Stan Thomas. We've had Stan Thomas before. But he got rid of that salary, which I think was about $130,000 a year or something, and he picked up $400,000 in the deal. And with each one of these moves, Bob, he reduces his what did he owe? He owed $3.5 million, I think, when he first invested in the team. So he's reducing that loan. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. So when everybody says, well, why can't he go out and be competitive in the reentry draft? He can't be. He won't be able to be competitive in that draft for another 5 or 6 years. He's keeping his faith by reducing that loan.
I have a feeling that Spencer is going to help the Yankees. He's a very good all-around ball player.
Well, yeah, he is. And He feels so much better than Chris Chambliss, you know. I think that deal was made so the Yankees could make a whopper deal. I think they've got a big one coming up with the San Diego Padres for Dave Winfield, that power hitting outfielder. And I think by getting Spencer, they are now free to trade Chambliss. Uh-huh. And I think Raleigh Eastwick is going to be in that deal too. He's the relief pitcher that they just signed for X number of years for thousands of dollars. So I think that's why that trade was made.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if that comes to pass. Our guest today is Joe Goddard, fine sports writer with the Chicago Sun-Times, and we'll be back with our guest in just a moment. Say, is your bank open when you're busy and closed when you're not? Well, Northwest Federal Savings knows that a good place to save is ready for you when you're ready. So Northwest Federal's open 63 hours a week. If you work evenings, you can come to Northwest Federal 6 full days. Northwest Federal is open Monday, Thursday, and Friday evenings. And if the only time you can get to Northwest Federal is 8 o'clock in the morning, well, that's okay, too. Because Northwest Federal has early bird service every morning from 8 o'clock. you'll find six convenient Northwest Federal Savings Centers throughout Chicagoland, including our great new location right here at 72 East Randolph. We're in the Loop, you know, and one of our slogans is, this location is the end of Loop Banker's Hours. And believe me, that is really some kind of a slogan. So come into Northwest Federal anytime, on your way to work, shopping, going home, anytime, because Northwest Federal Savings keeps the best hours yours. We're delighted to have Joe Goddard as our guest on this Christmas Day, and again, a Merry Christmas to all of you. Joe, tomorrow is a big, eventful day. It's a day that Papa Bear George Halas, who I admire so much, I'm very fond of that man, over the years, it would be great if the Bears could win that game just for George.
Wouldn't it be wonderful? You hit it on the head, though, at the beginning of your show today by saying that Staubach will be the difference, and he will be. Bob, I can envision Dallas taking the opening kickoff and marching for a touchdown on its first or maybe second possession and dominating the rest of the day. It could be a humbling day for the Bears, but the point is they made it. They got this far. Yes. They now have the momentum to do it again next year, and I think it's just the beginning. Even if they should be humbled tomorrow, which I think they will be, fans should throw it out and just say, we got there.
Yeah, well, they got there, and it's credit to Pardee, who's one of the nicest guys in football. He's done a great job with that team.
He is something, isn't he? And earlier in the year, our paper was guilty, I think, of a story that was more sensational than factual. They had lost, I think, 47-0 to Houston. You probably remember that game. And we wrote that Pardee's job is in jeopardy. Well, it's not in jeopardy. You know, Jim Finks would no more think about dismissing that man at this time than anything. So Pardee is solid, and he has respect all over the league. He's a little excited about the fact that they got this far. He's making some statements that I don't think he normally would make because he's a pretty conservative man. But the Bears aren't that good.
One of the interesting aspects of the game tomorrow is going to be with the Bears' great little back versus Dallas' great little back, and to see what kind of figures those two little guys run up.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm afraid Walter is going to be bottled up a little bit. Their defense is ferocious, and they're very good against lateral pursuit and closing up the holes that open up fast. And Walter will be lucky to break off two or three.
Thanks again for being with us. It's been very, very interesting. And I want to remind the fans again, don't miss the annual Sports Writers Dinner. It's a must. It's a great event and something no fan should miss. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Bob. Fun.
Our guest, Joe Goddard, sports writer with the Chicago Sun-Times. And I hope this is a happy day for you. Do have a Merry Christmas. And when you get a chance, stop in and get acquainted with the nice people at Northwest Federal Savings and Loan. Bob Elson saying goodbye until next Sunday at our usual time.